Yes, Jesus Christ is alive. He rose from the dead, and that day, that Easter Sunday morning, that first Easter, when Mary and Mary Magdalene and Salome went to the grave expecting to anoint a dead body, they saw the angel sitting there. And they said, "Where is Jesus?" The angel said, "He is not here, he is risen." I submit to you tonight that that's the greatest news the world has ever heard. He is not here. He has conquered the grave. He's alive.
Good morning, Ascend Church. Happy Easter. We've come to celebrate the risen King. Somebody make some noise. Come on. Come on, church, say, 'cause you are my freedom. We lift you higher, lift you higher. Your love, never ending. Oh, 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 come on.
You are alive in us. Nothing can take your place. You are all we need. Your love has set us free. Whoa, whoa. In the midst of the darkest night, let your love be the shining light, breaking chains that were holding me. You sent your son down and set me free. Everything of this world will fade. I'm pressing on till I see your face.
I will live that your will be done, and I won't stop till your kingdom come. 'Cause you are, my freedom. We lift you higher, Your love, never ending. Oh, oh, oh. You are alive in us. Nothing can take your place. You are all we need. Your love has set us free.
You are alive.
Us. Nothing can take your place. You are all we need. Your love has set us free. Whoa, whoa. Bring it down. I want you to put your hands together, ladies. Come on. Now I want you to make a shout of praise if you've come to worship the risen King. Come on. We're going to declare you are alive. Come on, let's say.
'Cause you are, my freedom. We lift you higher, Your love, your love, never ending. Oh,
now with a loud voice, sing it out.
'Cause you are, my freedom. We lift you higher, Your love, never ending.
Somebody declare he's alive.
You are alive in us. Nothing can take your place. You are all we need. Your love has set us free. You are alive in us. Nothing can take your place. You are all we need. Your love has set us free.
Sing, I want to scream.
And I want to scream it out from every mountain top. Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your mercy follows me. Your kindness fills my life. Your love amazes me.
We sing your sing.
And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good, good to me. Nothing and no one comes anywhere close to you. The earth and oceans only reflect this truth. And in my darkest night, you shine as bright as day. Your love amazes me. And I sing, and I sing because you are good, and I'll dance because you are good, and I'll shout because you are good to me. And I'll sing because you are good, and I'll dance because you are good, and I'll shout,
let's shout,
shout, you are good. Cry of praise, my heart will proclaim that you are good. Yeah, you are good. In the sun or rain, in the sun or rain, my life celebrates that you are good. That you are good. With the cry of praise, my heart will proclaim that you are good. Hey, you are good. In the sun or rain, in the sun or rain, my life celebrates that you are good. You are good. And I'll sing because you are good. And I'll dance because you are good, and I'll shout because you are good to me. And I'll sing because you are good, and I'll dance because you are good, and I'll shout,
I'll shout,
you are good, good to me.
You are good.
Sing because you are good, and I'll dance because you are good, and I'll shout because you are good to me. And I'll sing because you are good, and I'll dance because you are good, and I'll shout.
Oh, shout. Lift up a shout of praise. You are good. Hallelujah, Lord, you've overcome the grave. You're so good to me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Somebody give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
mission of our Savior.
Jesus came out of that grave. There's so much contained right in that. And contained in there is our ability to come into the presence of God, our ability to ask boldly and hear, get our prayers answered. And so right now, in the this is a time in the service where we have a time for prayer. If you need God to touch your life in any way, then we're going to have our prayer team right up front here, and they will be willing to just pray with you quickly and quietly and just agree with you. Do you know that if it's healing in your body, He still heals today? If it's restoration in your family, God is the restorer. If it's financial need in your life, He is the provider. And the Bible says if we ask, in faith will receive. And we want to just agree with you this morning. So if there's anything that you need, if it's healing, if it's restoration, if you just want to ask the Lord for something in your life, we invite you as we sing this last song to just step out of the seat right where you are. We're going to be worshiping God. You just come forward and somebody's going to pray over you. And we just want to join our faith with yours this morning. Amen. Thank you.
Disillusion, I was lost and insecure. Still mercy fought for my attention. You were waiting at the door. I let you in. Trading your life for my offenses, for my redemption, you carried all the blame. Breaking the curse of our condition, perfection took our place. Thank you, God. Forgiven, there is nothing that could take this love away. My only desire and sole ambition is to love you just the same. We long to love you, Jesus.
When
when no
everything I've got. My heart will say how I love you. Holy are you, God.
Holy are you, God.
And holy is your name.
Holy is your name.
Let your voices be heard this morning. Sing, holy is your name. With everything I've got, my heart will sing how I love you. Holy are you, God. Holy are you, God. Come on and declare, holy is your name.
Holy is your name.
With everything we've got,
everything I've got, my heart will sing.
Now with a loud voice, I want you to declare, holy are you, God. Come out.
Holy are you, God.
Holy is your name.
Holy.
Glory today, family. How many of you are thankful? Come on, let it come out of your mouth. Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Hallelujah. It is resurrection morning. Man, this is the day that changed everything. Amen. Family, this is just a time in our service. Just before we sit down, take a minute, meet someone around you, welcome them to church, wish them happy Easter, and then you may be seated. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, you look so good this morning. My goodness. It's a good thing we have a photo op set up outside there. Get your picture taken while you're so dressed up for Easter, man. Come on. Beautiful. Well, welcome to church. We're so glad that you're here today. Just thrills our heart to see some faces we haven't seen for a while. More than that. Makes me want to leap for joy. So good to see you today. Welcome to those that couldn't make it today, but you're watching online or watching on our phone app. We're glad that you joined us for the service. We're always glad to gather together anytime to worship God, but what better time than Easter Sunday morning? Amen. This is where we remember as believers. This is where it all began for us. It's the be all and the end all of our faith. Amen. And I just want to welcome you to Ascend Church. There are four things we, in particular, that we purpose to do. The first one is to help you to know God better. The second one is to help you to find freedom. The third one is to discover your purpose. And the fourth one is to help you make a difference with your life. You want to make a difference with your life, right? The older you get, believe me, for those who are younger, the older you get, the more that matters, the more that matters. And so we're so glad that you're here. We want to welcome anyone who's visiting us for the first time. We love to honor our guests. We have a visitor pack that we'd like to just hand you right where you're sitting. We're not going to embarrass you. But if you are here for the first time, welcome. And we just want to ask you to just raise your hand where you are, that our ushers can give you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. If you're here for the first time, God bless you. Welcome. Just keep it up until an usher sees you. Thank you so much. Go ahead. Just keep it up until we're thrilled that you're here. And, you know, just keep it up until an usher gets one to you. Oh, my. Do we have a bow-tied usher right there? I'm impressed. That's awesome. You know, I don't know how you came to be here if you're visiting. I don't know if one of your friends invited you or family, or you just saw some advertising for the church and came in, but I don't believe it's by accident, and we're so thankful that you're here, and we're praying that God's touch will be on your life today. Amen. At the end of this service, an offering bucket will pass by. Just drop that guest card in. Just fill it out for us and drop it in, and Pastor would love to give you a call and find out how you enjoyed the service. Thank you. I know the pastor's here. Yeah, we kind of thought you were coming. Ready? You're going to come in? It's your turn. Okay. All right, he's right. I'm wrong again. But doesn't happen often, but on Easter sometime, I'm sorry. We're going to partake of communion together, family. And there's a scripture in Corinthians that says, "For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." So the Bible calls Christ our Passover. Now we know at this time of year, it is Passover and Easter coincide, right? But you know, in the Old Testament, God instituted Passover right before the children of Israel were delivered from Egyptian bondage after 400 years. excuse me. And, you know, at what happened at Passover, in fact, if you want to hear the details, listen to last week's message because Pastor Steve went into it in detail. But what happened was that God told the Israelites that they were to take one lamb per household, and they were to roast it in fire, and they were to eat it. It had to be a lamb that was without blemish. It had to be killed at twilight, and no bones had to be broken. There were a lot of details in it. And the reason was because it was a type and a shadow. So what they did is once they had killed that lamb and eaten that lamb, they took the blood of the lamb and they painted it on their doorposts, the lintels and the doorposts of their houses. And that guaranteed them protection when the death angel passed through and the firstborn of every household died. They were protected because of the blood that was on their doorpost. And you say, well, how does that even tie in with us today? That's an interesting story. But you know, as we learned last week, everything in the Old Testament is a type and a shadow. And this, in particular, Passover, excuse me, was a exact type and shadow of what Jesus would do for us, right? Christ is our Passover lamb. John the Baptist, he said this. He saw Jesus coming towards him and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And when we believe that he is the Son of God who died for our sins and we receive him as Lord, what we are effectively doing is we are putting the blood of Jesus on the doorposts and the lintels of our lives, right? And that with that carries just what it carried in the shadow. It carries protection. The blood of Jesus on your life carries protection. It carries deliverance. It carries healing. And so today, as we're going to partake, if you have the communion emblem right there, if you just take it in your hand, if you peel the top back, there's a piece of bread underneath. And we're going to partake together. We're first going to take the bread and just wait a moment. We'll do it together. We take the bread and we're going to read from 1 Corinthians. Put that up for me, please, 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote this. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So what we do right now is we are remembering. And what a better time to remember than this weekend. The price that was paid. He said, "This bread symbolizes my body that was broken for you." And so I want you to take it. I want you to say this with me before you eat it. Say, "Thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken for me. Thank you, Lord, for going to the cross in my place." Right now, just take a partake of that bread. Thank you. Verse 25 says, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So the wine or the grape juice symbolizes Jesus' blood. That's what it does. It doesn't become it. It symbolizes it. It is in remembrance. And until the day that we eat, that we're in heaven with him, we're going to do this. We're going to remember just what a price he paid for us. Amen. And so I want you to take that cup in your hand. And I want you to just say this before you drink it. Say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for shedding your blood for my forgiveness. I receive everything you paid for on the cross of Calvary. Jesus, you are Lord of my life." Let's drink that. Thank you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Are you doing well today?
Yes.
Well, we're so glad to see you. Sorry, we're having a little problem with our screen.
you know, Easter Sunday, we're here at 7 a.m. to make sure everything's perfect for you. And this is the day our screen decides to give us problems. Can you believe it? We still haven't sorted it out. Maybe Bobby can help us when he gets off the stage. We get Bobby leading worship and then get off stage, run back and help us fix our stage. Help us fix our screen. But we're not going to let it affect. I'm not going to let it affect me. Let me tell you right now. The enemy, Satan, hates the cross of Christ. No, you don't get it. You got no idea how much the enemy hates this day. You have no idea how much the enemy, the devil, hates Resurrection Sunday. You know, today, in Sri Lanka, three churches were bombed and three hotels were bombed in coordinated attacks. Over 150 people are dead. 500 people are injured. Happened today, Resurrection Sunday. Why? Because Satan hates the cross of Jesus. He hates to be reminded of the day that Jesus defeated him and conquered him and rose from the dead. Come on, give God some praise today, church. I'm really praying that you'll get the screen working because I really need it today. I've got a lot of scriptures, a lot of things to share with you. And so come on, stretch your hand out toward this screen. In the name of Jesus, we command it to work, right? We command it to work in Jesus' name. Well, listen, while they're getting that sorted out, my goodness me. I'm feeling a free screen is coming in the mail here. While they're working that out, Bobby, think you can figure it out? Should come on now? All right. I've got two things I want to tell you real fast. Bobby Taylor. What can I say? Thanks, Bobby. Welcome to Ascend Church. Oh, is it Todd? Was it Todd? We had a group effort. Praise the Lord. I've got two things I want to mention to you real fast before we get into what I want to share with you today. We're going to be speaking about new life. But two things I want to mention to you, and that is that, especially if you're new to our church, on Sundays we run what we call Growth Track. Now, Growth Track is really, it's amazing. It's all about discovering your purpose. You know, God created you for a specific purpose. And this helps you to discover your purpose. It takes place on Sundays, right after church. Not today because of Easter, but usually next week. It's from 12 until 1, from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. after church, every Sunday. And it's four steps. And the first step takes place on the first Sunday of the month. And then step number two takes place on the second Sunday of the month. And today is the third Sunday of the month. Today we had step three, but they did it early at 9 a.m. because of Easter. And next week is the fourth Sunday of the month. It's step four. Then in May, we start again. First Sunday of the month, step one. And it runs year round. So that what that means is that every week we have new people come to church and you can just jump on the growth track at any time. You could jump on step number two and then just go two, three, four and come back and do one year round. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't done the growth track, I really encourage you to do so. We have these sign-up cards, these green cards. They're in the seat back covers in front of you. If you would take one and fill it out, you can also register and sign up online at ascendchurch.com. .us, but to sign up for the next growth track starting the beginning of May. The second thing I want to mention to you is our Connect groups. We are starting season two of our Connect groups in the month of May. And if you have not yet signed up to be a part of a Connect group, you know, a Connect group is a place where you get connected. It's a place where you make Christian friends. In fact, you know, I've found is that freedom happens in the context of community. In the context of relationships. Did you know that? Do you know in the book of James, the Bible says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. In other words, there's something that happens in the context of a relationship that doesn't happen any other place. And I've found that when you go to a connect group and you get amongst people of faith, people who are there to encourage you, people who love you, who are there to pray for you, who are there to lift you up, I found what happens is you discover a new freedom in your life. And I really encourage you, we're going to have connect groups starting in May in Stuart, in Jupiter, West Palm Beach, Boynton Beach. Doesn't matter where you live. We're going all the way from Port St. Lucie all the way down to Boynton Beach. And it's great to get connected, make friends. So what you need to do, if you want to be part of a connect group, fill out this white card that says connect, and then we'll contact you. The connect leader will contact you and invite you, give you directions, all good stuff like that. So that's this card right over here. If you'd fill that out, and the reason I'm doing it now is because at the end of the service, when we receive the offering, you can put those cards into the offering. You can fill them out while service is going on right now. Amen. Thanks for your enthusiasm this morning. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for God's word today? Man, I'm glad you got the screen back working today. Aren't you? Come on, let's pray. Would you stand with me as we pray? Can I ask you to do that? Stand up with me as we pray. Father, we thank you for this great day, Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate the greatest event in the history of the universe, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he lives, we live too. Lord, I thank you today as I declare your word. I want to make it known, Lord, that I'm trusting you. I'm depending on you, that you will help me, that you will anoint me, that you will speak through me today, that you will carry your word to every person's heart, that you will bring faith, that you will remove doubt and unbelief, that you will bring revelation and understanding, dispelling all confusion. Lord, we give you all the praise for everything said and done. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Turn to someone, greet them, tell them, I'm glad you're here today. Happy Easter. Holy are you, God. Praise God. Today we celebrate the greatest and the most significant event in human history. What am I talking about? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, get excited. Yes. And I want to speak to you about new life. The new life that Jesus came to bring you. The scripture tells us in Romans chapter 5 in verse 18. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Say new life.
New life.
Why did Jesus come to the earth? This is not a trick question. Why did he come to the earth? To bring us new life. He didn't come to found a church. He didn't come to give us a code of conduct. He came for one purpose, family, to bring us new life. What is this new life Jesus came to bring us? To understand that, you've got to understand what the Bible means by the word life. What does that mean? Four things I want to tell you about this new life. Number one, this new life is everlasting life. In John 3, verse 16, it says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. What is everlasting life? What is everlasting life? Does that just refer to existing forever? No. That's not what it's talking about. Because you are already an eternal being. We will all exist forever. Did you know that? The real you is a spirit being. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse 23, may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus comes again. Now notice, you are a spirit, soul, and body. You are, the real you is a spirit. The real you lives on the inside of this body. The real you is a spirit. You have a soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. And when you die physically, that's not the end of you. You, the spirit, you leave your body. Your body is buried in the ground, but you very much continue to exist. You step over into the spiritual realm where you continue to exist forever, either with God in heaven or in hell. There are only two options. There's heaven and there's hell. Jesus spoke about this. Jesus in Luke chapter 16, he told this true account. And then the reason I know it's true is because Jesus used people's names. And Jesus never used people's names when he was telling a parable. This is a real story. Look at this, verse 19. Jesus continued, "There was once a very rich man who had the finest things imaginable, living every day enjoying his life of opulent luxury. Outside of the gate of his mansion, there was a poor beggar named Lazarus." That's why I know it's true. "He lay there every day, covered with boils, and all the neighborhood dogs would come and lick his open sores. And the only food that he had to eat was the garbage that the rich man threw away. One day, poor Lazarus died. And the angels of God came and escorted his spirit into paradise." You see that? Lazarus died, but that wasn't the end of him. Lazarus simply left his body, and the angels escorted him to paradise. "The day came that the rich man also died. And in hell, he looked up from his torment and saw Abraham in the distance, and Lazarus the beggar was standing beside him in the glory. And the rich man shouted, 'Father Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and come and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames of fire.'" I don't know if you knew it, but hell is a real place. And here the rich man is in hell. He's in agony. And he's got fingers, and he's got a mouth, and he's got a tongue, and he's got feelings, just like we have here in this physical world. In the spiritual world, it's just as real. Can you say amen, somebody? "But Abraham responded, 'My friend, don't you remember while you were alive, you had all that you desired? You were surrounded in luxury while Lazarus had nothing. Now Lazarus is in the comforts of paradise, and you are in agony. Besides, between us, there is a huge chasm that cannot be bridged, keeping anyone from crossing from one realm to the other, even if he wanted to.' So the rich man said, 'Then let me ask you, Father Abraham, please send Lazarus to my relatives. Tell him to witness to my five brothers and warn them not to end up where I am in this place of torment.' And Abraham replied, 'They've already had enough warning. They've had the teachings of Moses and the prophets, and they must obey them.' But what if they're not listening?" The rich man added, "If someone from the dead were to go and warn them, they would surely repent." Abraham said, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither would they believe even if someone was raised from the dead." Now, here's what I want you to see. When Lazarus died and when the rich man died, their spirits left their body. But they carried on existing, either in paradise or in hell. When the Bible speaks about everlasting life, it's not just talking about physical life. Someone said, "Well, Pastor Steve, you know, Jesus came to bring me life. I'm already alive. I'm already alive." Let me tell you, if you haven't received Jesus into your life, you really aren't alive. The scripture says in Ephesians 2 verse 1, "You he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins." Do you know what that means? That means that before I received Christ into my life, I wasn't alive. I was dead. I was physically alive, but spiritually I was dead. I was like the walking dead. You ever seen that show? You ever seen The Walking Dead? They get infected with this disease, and they're dead, but they're still alive. That's what we were like. We were physically alive, but spiritually we were dead. Can you say amen, somebody? Look at Ephesians 2, verse 5. Even though we were spiritually dead and doomed by our sins, he gave us back our lives again when he raised Christ from the dead. Only by his undeserved favor have we been saved. And the Passion Bible says he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. See, we were dead because of our sins. What is death? Some people, when they hear the word death, they only think of physical death. Death does not mean that you cease to exist. Death means you exist, but you are separated from God, who is the source of all life. If you're not connected to God, who's the source of all life, you may be breathing physically, but you dead spiritually. In Acts 20, verse 26, it says, I declare today that I have been faithful. This is the Apostle Paul. He said, I've been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault. Paul said, I've been faithful to declare the gospel. And if anybody suffers eternal death, I'm not at fault. In 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 3, it says, if the good news we preach is hidden to anyone, it is hidden from the one who is on the road to eternal death. Do you know what eternal death is? Eternal death means to be separated from God for all eternity. It's a place you don't want to be. It means to be separated from God who is life. You see, sin separates us from God. Romans 5 verse 12 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone's sin. It's like that infection in the Walking Dead. You know, if they bite you, boom, you become a zombie. Well, let me tell you, when you get born, you're born with a sin nature, and it's like we're all infected, and that death spreads to everybody. In verse, let me read it from the Message Bible. It says, you know the story of how Adam landed us in the dilemma that we're in. First sin, then death, and no one exempt from either sin or death. That sin disturbed relations with God in everything and everyone. But the extent of the disturbance was not clear until God spelled it out in detail to Moses. So death, this huge abyss separating us from God, dominated the landscape from Adam to Moses. Even those who didn't sin precisely as Adam did by disobeying a specific command of God still had to experience this termination of life, this separation from God. But Adam, who got us into this, also points to the one who will get us out of it. How many of you know who's the one who's going to get us out of it? His name is Jesus. Adam's sin brought death to everyone. Spiritual death. Separation from God. Which resulted in physical death. Are you with me? See, God warned Adam that this would happen. If Adam disobeyed God's instructions, God said to Adam in Genesis chapter 2, when God created Adam, the first man, the Bible says the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. You can eat of every tree. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can eat of every tree, Adam, except the tree of the knowledge of good and, there's the problem, evil. You shall not eat. For the day that you eat it, you will surely die. In fact, the Message Bible says this: the moment you eat from that tree, you're dead. Now, God said, the moment you eat that tree, from that tree, you're dead. Do you know that Adam lived 900 years after he ate of the tree? Did anybody know that? Go read it. It tells you he lived 930 years after he sinned. But God said, the moment you eat it, you're dead. So what did God mean? God was talking about spiritual death. Sin brings spiritual death, which means to be separated from God, who is life. You see, when God created Adam, the Bible says he breathed his own life into Adam. Genesis 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or the spirit of life, and man became a living being. Do you know what gives life to your body? Your spirit. When you leave, your spirit leaves your body, your body falls down like an old suit. And God said, the day you eat that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the day you disobey me, you'll die that day. Adam didn't die physically, but spiritually he died. The life, see, Adam was full of the life of God. God breathed his life into Adam, his spirit. Adam operated by God's life, God's wisdom, God's ability. I mean, God gave Adam authority over the whole earth. Adam had amazing ability. Do you know that Adam named all the animals, all the birds? Do you know he gave them all names? Do you know how many animals and birds there are? Do you know how many insects? Have you ever watched planet Earth? It's astounding to me. All these species. I mean, there's like millions of them. Adam named them all. How? He had the life of God, man. But when Adam sinned, he died spiritually. God's life left him. That's why God said, Adam, where are you? Is it because God couldn't see Adam hiding behind the bushes, trying to cover himself with fig leaves? No, God knew there had come a separation. That sin of Adam spread to everyone ever born and brought spiritual death to every single person. The only way God could rescue us, the only way God could save us, the Bible says that Adam points to the one who would save us. The only way God could rescue us is to send his own son, who had no sin, to come to the earth and be our substitute. Pay the price for our sin. Take our death. Take our sin. Give us new life. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The New Living Bible says, just as everyone dies, because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Jesus came to bring us new life, everlasting life, to bring us from spiritual death and separation from God back into relationship and right standing with God through Christ. We are now alive unto God forever, and we will spend eternity with him in heaven forever. That's everlasting life. That's eternal life. The new life Jesus came to bring you, number one, you could understand this, that's eternal life, where you are connected to God, alive unto God forever. Number two, this new life is not just eternal. Thank God, it's abundant. This new life is abundant life. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The Passion Bible says it like this: I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. Thank God. Our God is a God of overflow. Let me tell you, our God is not just a God of enough. He's a God of more than enough. He's a God of overflow. David said, my cup flows over. Do you know the Greek word for life? In the Greek, the word is zoe. Z-O-E. Do you know what the word zoe means? Anyone know what zoe means? It means the life of God, the God kind of life, or life like God has it. Jesus said, I came to bring you abundant life, the life like God has it, the life of God. That's what I came to bring you. Jesus did not just come to bring us everlasting life so we could fellowship with God forever and ever, but he also came to bring us abundant life. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't just take your sins and in exchange give you forgiveness. Let me tell you, he took your sin, he took your sickness, he took your poverty, he took your failure, he took so you could be healed, so you could be blessed, so that you could have abundant life in this life. Can you say amen? Amen. Let me tell you, being sick in your body, that's not abundant life. Not being able to pay your bills, that's not abundant life. Jesus came to bring you abundant life. Tell your neighbor, Jesus came to bring you abundant life. The scripture says in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, listen to this. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you were healed. Now, Peter is quoting the prophet Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus came. In Isaiah 53, verse 4, he said, surely he has borne our sicknesses. He has carried our pains. Yet we considered him stricken and smitten and afflicted, smitten by God. Who do you think Isaiah is talking about? Who's he talking about who carried our pains? And in verse 5, it says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was on him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Do you notice that Jesus did not only take our sin, thank God for that, but he took our sicknesses too. By his wounds, by his stripes, the Bible says, we were healed. This is confirmed in Matthew 8:17. It says, this fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. He took our sickness and he bore our disease. Jesus took our sin so that we could be forgiven. Jesus took our sickness so that we could be healed. Jesus came to bring you abundant life. And being sick is not abundant life. Being broke is not abundant life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus didn't just take your sin. Jesus took your sickness. Jesus took your poverty. Why? So you could have an everlasting life, so you could have abundant life, so that you could be healthy and whole, so that you could be blessed and prosper. Jesus did all that on the cross, family. He came to bring you new life in your spirit, in your soul, in your body. Can you say amen? Let me tell you, this new life we have is eternal. This new life we have is abundant. This new life, abundant life, it includes physical health, healing, physical, financial prosperity. It includes freedom. It includes joy. It includes peace. All these things are part of the abundant life Jesus came to bring us. Can you say amen? Amen. Say, Jesus came to bring me new life. Say, Jesus came to bring me eternal life. Say, Jesus came to bring me abundant life. And let me tell you, number three, this new life will change you. This, when you receive this new life, it changes you. Receiving eternal life is the most miraculous incident in your life. What happens when you receive this new life? It changes you. I mean, you can see the effects of that life in a person's, when they receive new lives, you see that they change. You see it in a person's habits. You see it in their speech. It changes their conduct. I mean, one time, Jesus was passing through a town named Jericho. And there was a man who lived there. His name was Zacchaeus. He was a very influential man, and he was a very wealthy man. He was the chief tax collector, the head honcho, as they say. In those days, tax collectors were crooks. People didn't like them, because they literally would crook people. They were working for the Roman government. So here you had Jewish people taking taxes from their brothers and sisters and profiting from it. So they were despised. Now, Zacchaeus was a very short man. And the Bible says when Jesus came through town, Zacchaeus couldn't see him, so he climbed up in a tree, a sycamore tree. And the Bible says Jesus looked up and saw him. And he said, come down, Zacchaeus, because today I'm appointed to come to your house. I'm appointed to stay at your house. The Bible says many people in the crowd were complaining. They said, he's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. Does he know the kind of man that he is hanging out with? The religious people. Definitely not my kind of people. I'm not part of the religious crowd. If someone says to me, Pastor Steve, people have asked me, are you religious? I say, no. The last thing I want to be is religious. The religious people are complaining. Look at him. He's going to be the guest of a sinner. But the Bible says in verse 8, Zacchaeus joyously welcomed Jesus. He was amazed over his gracious visit to his home. Zacchaeus stood in front of the Lord and he said, half of what I own I will give to the poor. And Lord, if I've cheated anyone, I promise to pay them back four times as much as I stole. Now notice what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, this shows today life has come to you. Life has come to your household. You're a true son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek and to give life to those who lost. Notice. Let me tell you, this new life changes you. It changed Zacchaeus. We see it with the Apostle Paul. Do you know that the Apostle Paul was the greatest persecutor of the church? The Apostle Paul was there stirring up the crowd when Stephen was stoned to death. He was there holding the men's coats when they were stoning Stephen to death. But when Paul, his name used to be Saul, when Saul encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was changed. He became one of God's greatest servants. He changed from Saul to the Apostle Paul. He wrote 60% of the New Testament. He was the one who wrote in 1 Timothy 1 verse 5, he said, I can testify that the word is true and deserves to be received by all. For Jesus Christ came into the world to bring sinners back to life, even me, the worst sinner of all. Paul said, I was the worst sinner there was, and Jesus came to seek and give life to those who were lost. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. Paul's the one who wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. See, when you belong to Christ, when you receive the life of Christ into your heart, when your spirit is born again, God imparts His very life and nature into your spirit. God's nature, God's life comes in your spirit. Jesus said this in John chapter 3. When a man came to him, asking him how to be saved, how to be right with God, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you can never get into the kingdom of God. Born again, said Nicodemus, what do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and get born again? It's like my mother's here today. Where's my mother? How about you want to give birth to me one more time? I mean, I was 8 pounds 10 when you gave birth. I'm 162 pounds now. I think you can do it. Jesus said, what I'm telling you is unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Men can only reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. Don't be surprised that you must be born. Jesus said you must be born again. In your spirit, you must be made new by receiving His new life. If you want to get, it's the only way to get to heaven. There's no other way. When you're born again in your spirit, by receiving God's new life, you receive His nature. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1 verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Say, I'm a partaker of His divine nature. The contemporary Bible says so that His nature will become part of us. Well, how many of you know what God's nature is? Does anyone know what God's nature is? It's defined over in Galatians chapter 5. It says that the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life. Love. How many of you know God is? Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. See, when you receive Christ's new life in your heart and you are born again, God's Spirit makes your spirit brand new, and He imparts God's life and God's nature on the inside of you, and it changes you. You suddenly have this new kind of love. You suddenly have joy and peace. You suddenly have patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. It's a new kind of love. It's a new kind of life that comes into you and changes you. Does anyone know what I'm talking about today? Has anyone here experienced this in your life today? Anyone know, anyone experienced this? A couple of years ago, we were on vacation with Pastor Theo and his wife, Bev. Now, Pastor Theo is my pastor. He's the man who led me to Christ when I was 15 years old, just a couple of months before I turned 16. And so he's still my pastor. I have to figure it out every time. What is it now? 40 years. It's almost 40 years. He's still my pastor today. And we were on vacation. And we were in Hawaii. Don't get jealous now. And we were walking down the street, the main street. Anyone been to Hawaii? Anyone want to go? You should go. So we're walking down the main street. And we just started talking. And I don't know how, but we started talking about how God had changed us and how God had changed him. Now, Pastor Theo, in the day before he became a Christian, he used to run nightclubs. He owned a number of mobile discos set up in hotels. And Pastor Theo was very aggressive. He was very violent. He was a black belt karate champion. He was actually the South African karate champion, the Shukukai champion for 3 years running. And let me tell you, Pastor Theo would walk down the street, and most people knew him, and if you looked at him the wrong way, he would just hit you. He'd just punch you. We were talking about it as we were in Hawaii. I don't know how we got onto it, but he said one time he was with his girlfriend, and they stopped at a gas station to get some gas. And he went inside the store, and his girlfriend was in the car, and a car pulled up with four guys, and they started, you know, what's the word? They just started messing with his girlfriend, started saying things. And the Pastor Theo came out, and he wasn't Pastor Theo in those days. And his girlfriend told him what happened. Now, these guys are driven off. Well, Theo got in the car. He took off. He went chasing these guys. Caught up to them, got out, beat all four of them up. Beat the I didn't say it. Pastor Theo was mean, man. I've seen pictures of him in those days. He'd be on stage, and he had this leather jumpsuit with tassels on it, open to the waist, long hair down here, going crazy on stage, doing karate kicks. Let me tell you, it's so hard for me to imagine, because I never knew Pastor Theo in those days. It's so hard for me to imagine because he's so different. He is the most gentle, kindest, patient man. Probably one of the most patient men I ever met. How? Why? Because when he received Jesus, he received new life, and it changed him. Amen. And let me tell you, when you receive this new life, it'll change you. John 1 verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Passion Bible says, life came into being because of him, for his life is the light for all humanity. Do you know the word light stands for development? Do you know that the life of God brings, it says, his life was the light of men. Do you know that God's life brings development? Do you know that it brings progress? Do you know I've noticed in places where Jesus is not proclaimed, there's little development there. There's little progress there. In fact, some nations, it seems like they're going backward. But in places where Jesus is welcomed, I've noticed the people thrive. I've noticed in those places there are inventions. There's progress. I believe that's why America has developed like it has, because America was founded by Christians and the gospel was proclaimed in America. That's the foundation of America. Now let me tell you, don't let anybody lie to you. Don't let anybody deceive you. This nation was founded on the kind of preaching I'm preaching today. That's what it's founded on. And America has thrived and prospered and become the world's leader in technology, in science, in medicine, in the arts. You know why? Because the life of God is the light of men. The life of God brings progress. It brings development. It changes you. Amen? I'm going to close with this. How do we receive this new life? How can you receive this new life? Romans 10, verse 9. If you publicly declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will experience salvation. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be rescued and experience new life. You just got to call on Jesus. You got to confess he's Lord of your life and believe God raised him from the dead. It's that simple. If you do, you will experience this new life. You will be born again. The life of God will come inside you and recreate you. Amen. Amen. You receive this eternal, abundant life when you surrender to Jesus, when you make him the Lord of your life. One of the difficulties that confronts people is some people, they want to have Jesus as their Savior, but they don't want him to be their Lord. Many people want Jesus to be their Savior from hell, but they don't want him to be their ruler on this earth. And Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, notice, not a few, many. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Haven't we driven out demons in your name? Haven't we done many mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them openly, I will declare to them publicly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who act wickedly, disregarding my commands. He's talking about people that don't do what he says, that disregard his commands. See, to make Jesus Lord of your life, it means you surrender control of your life to him. It means you live for him. It means you follow him. And let me tell you, God's plan for your life is much better than your plan for your life. Amen. Much better. Some people are almost afraid that if they surrender to God, that somehow they're going to have a miserable life. I used to have so much fun, then I became a Christian. I don't know what church you went to. I don't know what Bible you're reading from. But let me tell you right now, my life got good the day I accepted Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Luke 17:33 says, all who are obsessed with being secure in this life will lose it all, including their life. But those who let go of their life and surrender them to me will discover true life. Do you know how I discovered true life? The day I surrendered to him. When Jesus is Lord of your life, let me tell you, when Jesus is Lord of your life, then his word is Lord of your life. What I mean is the Bible becomes, you give God's word, the Bible, first place in your life. Because when Jesus is Lord, his word is Lord. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, but you don't do the things I say? Why do you say I'm Lord, but you don't do what I say? See, when Jesus is Lord, you do what he says. You let God's word govern your life. You let his word be the Lord of your life. And by doing that, you're letting Jesus be Lord of your life. When you receive Jesus, let me tell you, he will impart his resurrecting, redeeming, and life-giving power into your heart. He will change your nature so that you will walk in his way. He will take away your heart of stone, and he will give you a new heart so that your every desire will be to please him, live for him, and serve other people. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let me tell you, if you've known no peace in your life, you'll be given the peace that passes understanding. God will become real to you. He will become personable. He will become knowable. He will share your burdens. He will strengthen you. Let me tell you, he will be the true friend that will guide your feet in life's perilous journey. That is the good news of the gospel, family. And more than anything else, he'll forgive all your past sin. The guilt that you are so burdened with will be lifted in the name of Jesus, and there will be this fresh, exhilarating sense of forgiveness that you stand before God, forgiven of every sin that you've ever committed. This is the good news of the gospel, that the hopeless are given a new hope, a new lease on life. Amen. The sinful are forgiven. The slate of the past is wiped clean. The dead are given new life. They are now citizens of heaven. And we can say with Paul, we who were dead in sin and trespass, we have been made alive together with him. We were sentenced to death because we've sinned and rebelled against God. But that sentence of death fell upon Jesus at that cross. And the Bible says because he died, because he took the judgment, because he took hell and death in my place, I now can have new life, abundant life. We have forgiveness. We can be new creatures in Christ. We can be citizens of heaven. It's all yours today, family. Free if you will receive Jesus into your heart. It's all available. New life for you today. Come on, give God praise. Will you do that? Give him praise today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's what we celebrate today, family. Can I ask you to bow your head? Can I ask you to close your eye? Let us pray. Can we pray together? Thank you, Dave. Just bow your head right now. Close your eyes right now. You know, yesterday I performed the funeral for a young lady who was 26 years old. And she tragically overdosed just over a week ago. And I went and did the funeral. And I thought about it. The Bible says, what is your life? It is like a vapor that appears for a moment and vanishes away. Let me tell you right now, tomorrow is not guaranteed. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Jesus said, I'm standing at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. If anyone will open, I will come into him. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is alive and he's here today. And he's knocking on the door of your heart. And he's saying, let me in. I want to pray for you today. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Steve, I'm really not sure where I stand with God. I'm really not sure if all is right, if all is well with me and the Lord. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain, you know for sure? If you died today, you know you'd go to heaven. Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. The Bible says even the demons believe in God and they tremble. What I am asking you is if you were to die today, do you know for sure that heaven is where you would spend all of eternity? Because the good news is you can know that. You can leave here this morning knowing that all is right, all is well with you and God, knowing that every sin, every mistake you've ever committed is forgiven and is washed away. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and come out here, but right where you're sitting, while heads are bowed, while eyes are closed, this is between you and the Lord today. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I want to be sure. I want this new life. I want to make sure I'm going to go to heaven for eternity. Pray for me. If that's you, I want you quickly, right now, if you say yes, include me in that prayer, Pastor Steve, I want you to lift your hand up. Shoot your hand up right now. Lift it up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. Just put it up right now. Thank you. God bless you. Shoot that hand up. Come on, put it up high so I can see it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. I see hands being raised. Put it up high. Here, Pastor Steve, pray for me too. Maybe there was a time in your life when you were serving and following the Lord, but you've drifted away from him. And today, God is calling you home. If you say, I want to rededicate, I want to recommit my life, lift your hand as well. I want to pray for you too. Lift up your hand. All right, I want everyone who lifted your hand for prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask church, can we please all say this prayer together? Everybody, especially if you lifted your hand, say this. Say, dear God, I thank you today that you love me so much that you sent Jesus, your son, to come to this earth for me, to take my sin, to take my punishment, to die in my place. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus back to life, and if I confess that He is Lord. You said I would be saved. I do this today. I believe, Jesus, You're the Son of God. You died for me. You took my sin. You rose from the dead. You are alive. And I ask You, come into my life. Come into my heart. Save me, Lord. I confess, Jesus Christ, You are now Lord of my life. Say, I surrender my life to You. Say this, say, Lord, I receive Your new life in Jesus' name. I thank You because I have received You. Say, I am born again. Say, I'm a new person. God, You are now my Father, and I am Your child. Say, heaven is my home, and my name is written down in Your book of life. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Come on, everybody. Amen. Give God thanks and praise today. Let me tell you, if you lifted your hand up, I did a funeral yesterday, as I told you, about 8 or 9 people. I did an altar call. When I do a funeral, I do an altar call. There ain't any better place to get people to accept Jesus than at a funeral. We had about 8 or 9 people got saved. And we had a number of people got saved today. I want to encourage you, if you lifted your hand up and said that prayer, when we close the service about 5 minutes from now, please would you mind just remaining in your seat, because we have a gift for you. And we have volunteers in our church. They saw you put your hand up. They're going to come over to you. And they want to give you the gift before you go home. So thank you. We really appreciate that. And I want to thank everyone who invited someone to church today. How many of you invited someone to church today? They may not have showed up, but you invited them. Raise your hand if you invited somebody. Man, let me give you a round of applause right now. Now, you know what? Can I say something? You don't have to wait till next Easter to invite someone to church again. Do it every week, man. Every week. I know some people invited 10 people to church today. Bless your heart. Did you get something out of today? You get something out of this morning? Amen. How many of us appreciate what Jesus done for us? Well, you know what? Jesus gave His all. I mean, literally, Jesus gave His life. Today, right now, we come. This is offering time. We're going to give to the Lord. We're going to honor God. We want to show God we love and appreciate everything He's done. One way that we show our appreciation to the Lord is by supporting and financing His kingdom on the earth. Amen? So thank you. Pastor Jill's going to share a word.
You know, I get so excited just as you're doing that altar call and you're talking about new life. It was just 2 Sundays ago in the morning when I drove down to Miami and spent the Saturday night there and witnessed my our 7th grandchild being born. And are you any parents, you know that elation at seeing new life and the miracle, that's exactly what's taken place right here. There's rejoicing in heaven when one person receives this new life from Christ. Amen. Praise God. Well, as we prepare to give, there are envelopes on the seats right where you're sitting. Let me just say this. If you're a visitor, a first-time guest today, please don't feel any obligation to give. No pressure. If you'd like to give, we appreciate it. But I'd just like to share something from the Word with you this morning as we give. In Exodus 12, which I referred to earlier, where it was talking about the Passover, and that this is the season that we're in, this Passover season. And it says in Exodus 12, verse 14, this is a day to remember. Each year, from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival or feast to the Lord. This is a law for all time. So we say all time. I mean, it's not just, okay, this happened in the past. He said, you've got to remember this and celebrate. So there were feasts that God set out in the Word. And there's a lot of information about that. But in Exodus 23, it goes on and it told them how they should act at the time of the feast. And it says, none of you shall appear before me empty-handed. Excuse me. Isn't that interesting? That not one of the acts of worship that they were to bring to God at these time of the feast was they were not to come empty-handed. It is a part of our worship
to bring an offering before the Lord. Amen? Amen, like you do for Pastor Steve. Amen. Just kidding. But let me say that God, when we come and we worship God with our giving, it blesses God's work, it blesses God's kingdom, but let me tell you, it blesses you. Because there were, God said, you can't outgive God. He says, do this, don't come empty-handed. And then he says, let me tell you what I'll do. And I'm going to read you six things that it says right there, what God will do as we come before him with an offering. Number one, God will send an angel before you. He said, see, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place that I have prepared. Second of all, God will be an enemy to your enemies. He says, I'll be an enemy to your enemies, and those who oppose you, I will oppose. I like that. Number three, God will give you prosperity. Verse 25 says, he will bless your bread and bless your water. Number four, God will take away sickness from the midst of you. I love that. Isn't that the blessings of God that are attached when we obey him? Amen. Number five, God will give you long life. He said, I'll give you a full lifespan. Number six, God will give you increase and inheritance. You know what it's like when you have an itch in your throat. No, I'm okay. I'm almost done. Well, family, as we come today, we come to honor God on this special occasion when we're remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so let's bring our offering today. Just prepare yourself to give, and we're going to pray. Why don't you pray, Pastor Steve?
All right. Praise the Lord. You know, that our giving is very important to the Lord. As you see it all through the scriptures. All through the scriptures we see, like in Passover, they would bring a special offering. And God said, don't anyone come empty-handed. And when you would bring this offering, there would be blessings released in your life, as Pastor Joel mentioned, these seven blessings. So I want you to hold your offering in your hand today. As you know, there's different ways of giving. You can give by check, by credit card. You can give on our app. You can give by text giving. I want you to hold that envelope in your hand, because we're going to pray right now. How many believe in God for some financial blessings in your life? How many believe in God for breakthroughs in your life? How many believe in God for the windows of heaven open above your life? Anyone believe in God for this? Hold that up right now. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you. We thank you for Jesus, who gave his life, who gave his all for us. Lord, I thank you today as we bring this offering to honor you. Because, Lord, we love you. And we are so appreciate everything you've done in our life. And we want other people. We want to bring other people in your kingdom, Lord. We know that you want everyone to be saved. So as we, Lord, as we give today, I thank you, Lord, for the windows of heaven open above your people. I thank you for blessing your people. I thank you, Father, for your favor that rests on your people. I thank you for these seven Passover blessings released in their life today, Lord. Blessing their bread and their water. Sending an angel before them. Fighting their enemies on their behalf, Lord. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you came to take our sin, to take our sickness, to take our poverty, to bring us righteousness, to bring us forgiveness, to bring us healing, and to bring us prosperity and blessing. Lord, you want us to be blessed, spirit, soul, and body. And I thank you. I declare prosperity over you. I declare increase, and I declare breakthrough in Jesus' name. If you receive it, shout out amen this morning. Come and give God a big praise this morning. Give him praise today. As we close this morning, I just want to say thank you to all of our wonderful volunteers who served in God's house. Let me tell you, the worship team, we're here at 7 a.m. this morning. Why don't you give them a great, they did such a great job today. Come on, give them a great round of applause. Thank you to our media team, our ushers, our kids workers. The kids had a great time. I think they had a 2,000 Easter egg hunt today. They're having a great time. So praise God. Before you go, let us tell us what's happening with the ladies.
We have a ladies meeting coming up on Mother's Day weekend on the Friday evening, May 10th. Just put it in your calendar, ladies. We're going to have a phenomenal night. We're going to celebrate the mothers, but not only the mothers. We're going to have food. We've been doing some planning, and you're going to get to meet some ladies, network a little bit. If there's something that you do, some of our ladies sell products and what have you. If you're a vendor of any sort, please just come and see me afterwards, and we'd like you to be able to just set your stuff up, and we're going to have a great evening. We'll let you know more about it, but we want you to bring your friends and come and join us.
Can't help but think of the song. Well, it's
Ladies
Night. Should have had that music going. Ladies Night. But listen, I want to mention, we have a photo op set up in the lobby today. It's a photo opportunity. Our photographer, Dolores, will be taking your picture, and we're going to have the Easter Bunny there too, so take a chance, take opportunity, get a picture with your family. God bless you, everybody. We love you. Happy Easter. We'll see you next Sunday. We're going to have an awesome time next Sunday. Bring somebody next Sunday. God bless. We'll see you then. So good. I'm